All right. He is worthy to be praised. Well, today we are going to start off in Luke 2, 52, and then we'll go over to Acts 2, the last six verses there, Acts 42 through 47. And if you've been with us for the last few weeks, you know, today is the last sermon out of the series, Growing Like Jesus. And before we will kind of review that, but first let's pray, and then we'll read from Luke 2:52. Father in heaven, Lord, you are worthy of all of our praise and all of our glory, Lord, all of our worship. And Lord, we know that true worship is not that just which happens here, but the transformation that happens in our lives and the obedience that we go and we live day by day, moment by moment. I pray, Lord, that through, Lord, the worship that we lift up through song, and then, Lord, also the Word of God, and the worship through it, the studying and the transformation, Lord, that you would be glorified and that we would be those who are found to be obedient to you, because you are our God and our Creator, and we end our salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. And we've been in Luke 2:52, and what's interesting about this verse, again, if you hadn't heard me say this yet, that this one verse covers 18 years of Jesus' life. And it says, and Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Over the last few weeks, we've gone through several things. First week, and I'm going to review some of the big ideas that we've shared together. But the first week we looked at the whole verse as an introductory to the series, and where we saw the humanity of Christ, and we walked away with that following Jesus Christ is the only way we can be completely human. You're like, whoa, what do you mean by that? Isn't to be human is to err? No, to be human was created in his image. And then in Genesis 3, we see in Genesis 1 and 2, all was perfect, all was good. And then in Genesis 3, sin came in, and that's when the problem started, and that Jesus came to redeem us and to heal us and to restore us through faith. And so following Jesus Christ is the only way to be completely human. Then the next week, we went through each of these words. We see that he grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and men. And so we looked at wisdom, and our big idea came out of Proverbs 8:35, which says, they who find wisdom find life. And then next, we looked at growing physically, where we talked about our body being a temple. And we left that week with surrender your body to the Lord and glorify God in your daily life. And then last week we explored this word favor, and we did a word study of that, and we see that it talked about three people. We talked about Mary, and then Joseph, not Mary's Joseph, but Joseph that came from Egyptian times in Genesis 20 to Genesis 50. And so it talked about him, and then it talked about King David, and we looked at favor in them. And then and their big idea that we left with last week out of Hebrews 11 and 6, where it says, without a committed, consistent, serving, and courageous faith, it is impossible to please God. Really, what the verse says is, without faith, it is impossible to please God. But we looked at what that meant, and it's a faith that is committed, a faith that is consistent, a faith that is serving, that is answering our calling, and then a faith that is courageous. But without that type of faith, it is impossible to please God. And then today we move forward in this series of looking at where it says in Luke 2:52, and it says, and that he was growing or kept increasing, and it says in favor with God and favor with men. And the fourth place that we were doing that word search of favor, remember, it was Mary, Joseph, and then David, and then but it also referred to another group of people, and that was in the church. And we find that in Acts 2. Verses 42 through 47. Now, if you can join me there, and it'll be on the screen as well. And but if you remember, Pentecost has come. Jesus has come. He has lived. He has died on the cross. He is resurrected. He lived on the earth for 40 days. He ascended into heaven. He's promising that he's come again. But he told his people, hey, I have a mission for you. You will be my witnesses. You will go and you will share about me. But he says, but wait. Wait until the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you will receive this power. He said, you can't do this on your own. He didn't say that verbatim. That's what he was saying. But you can't do this on your own. You must have this power. And then Pentecost has come. And then on Pentecost, they're found praying together. And then the Holy Spirit has rested on them. And then if you remember, they're speaking in tongues. And there is this, the people are all amazed. And they're saying, how can we understand these men in our own dialect? And then, of course, there's always that one guy that's in the crowd, and he says, well, they must be drunk. And Peter says, we are not drunk. And he shares the gospel of the Holy Spirit and talked about the prophecies of old that pointed to Christ. And we see the result is 3,000 are saved on that day. And now what we find is the first church, the first congregation that has come together. And let's read verses 42 through 47. And it says, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. It says, everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. Verse 46, day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And there's our word favor right there. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. Amen. Well, we have been here before. If you're one of those people that whenever a pastor preaches a sermon, you put the date next to the passage. Well, if you've been here for the last almost 5 years now, you see there's two places that where we have preached from this passage. And any good pastor would preach from this at least once a year. This is the model church. This is where it began. This is where the church was in its purity. And last year, we had an opportunity to look at this. And just to remind you of where we were and what we drew out of the passages together then, the big idea that day was when there is Christian covenant, where there's community and faithfulness, God will work in our midst. And one of the things we tackled was proximity versus community, where it's one thing to just come to church and be present and be sitting next to one another, but it's a total another thing to be unified together and be working together as a community of faith. And God hasn't called us to be merely in proximity, but he has called us to be united together in a community of faith. And in 2014, after our new beginning, we launched this and talked about what is the church, and if you remember, I described all these things, went through through the word and how the people were devoted to different things. But the big idea there is that we talked about is the church is an assembly of people. Never is it a building, but it is an assembly of people that come together for the purpose of being encouraged and being encouraged and being equipped so we can go and engage the world for Jesus Christ. We looked at spiritual disciplines and how they transform our attitude towards the oneness, towards being real, and that which leads to love. But today is a little different, and it's talking about growing in favor with men. I think before we talk about growing in favor with men, we have to talk about what favor is not in this passage and what favor is not for a follower of Christ. First, favor is not like the worldly, where we can have favor with men outside of the context of the divine. It is driven by status, driven by greed, driven by pride, maybe politics. What can you do for me? And so I'm going to do for you, scratch my back, and I'll scratch your back. That's not the kind of favor that we're exploring here. This favor is not that we would find in friendship. Friendship is great in life. It is good to have a friend, but it lacks the power to connect us to our Creator as our Redeemer and our Savior. Am I saying that we can't have friendships like that? That's not what I'm saying, but I am saying that this type of favor that we're talking about is not just found in friendship. It is also not a promise. And we see it's not a promise to all of our relationships that we would have with other people. That Christ said that, hey, because of me, you will be persecuted. And he said that the world would hate us because of him. And you're like, hey, that's not really fair. So what do? Well, first of all, we love, and we exhibit Christ. But this favor it's the same thing that we explored last week when we defined it. It is literally the word charis. It means grace, something that is freely given, specifically found in divine favor. And it is this divine favor that we see growing the church, and we see it transforming lives, and we see in this passage that it is redeeming the lost people. So this favor is grace in this. We're talking about that favor which God gives and that favor in which Jesus increased in. So if you're following along with us today and your outline, we see that finding favor with people results from something. We've been studying on Wednesday night, Bible study, and looking at different types of grammar things. And so we do not actively pursue favor. We see that favor is something that is verb tense-wise, we would be more passive, something that happens. It is a result of what we do. And we find first here that finding favor with people results from a devoted faith. From a devoted faith. We see all of these are going to be a result of our faith. And again, it connects with last week. This is a series, and we're still, remember, the phrase that we have been exploring has been that Jesus increased in favor with God. That's what we explored last week. And in favor with men, and that's what we're describing now. So it is still that same favor, and that favor, it is a result of faith. And is that which grows, again, if I can remind us of last year, of a courageous and a serving faith. But we see finding favor with people results from a devoted faith. We see in verse 42 that they were continually devoting themselves. And it gives us a list of many things. And I want to just discuss this word devoted. It is just awesome. This word devoted, and we would think, you know, what is somebody devoted? This is the description of that word when you begin to do a word study there. It means to persist in, to persevere in, to continue steadfast in, to wait upon. It is so easy to read this passage and see all these awesome things of this ideal church and just think, hey, you know, that's what it's supposed to be. It's easy. It doesn't require much. So what's wrong with our church today? No, it shows here that there was something that they persisted in. Listen to some other things. It derives from a word that means show steadfast strength and also a prevailing strength. So it means to consistently, listen to this, consistently, and listen to this within the context of your own faith walk and in the context of your who you are as a follower of Christ, individually and then corporately, us together here. Listen, it means showing strength which prevails in spite of difficulties. And then it says something to endure, to remain firm, to stay fixed in a certain direction. And you kind of see what James is talking about in chapter 1 about don't have the faith like one who is being tossed by the waves. But it also means, as you can continue to study, it means to continue to do something with intense effort. Are you getting the hint of what this word means? With the possible implication, despite difficulty, to devote yourself, to keep on. Oh, we are in a faith that is a battleground, but we are a culture and the people who prefer the playground of things. I mean, think about the things that God tells us. Put on your spiritual armor. Do these different things. Here's some synonyms to this: devoted faith, unwavering, unfaltering, resolute, persistent, committed, dedicated, unswerving, firm, loyal, dependable, faithful, reliable, trustworthy, constant. And then it comes back again to devoted. Do you get the picture? Do you get the picture? And friend, I ask you today, where is your faith when we look at this devotion that's found in the early church? It wasn't easy. It was new beginnings. It wasn't easy for them. It was life change. But friend, how would you define your faith today? Is it a devoted faith? Or is it a wavering faith? Is it a constant, consistent, reliable faith? Or is it a swerving, being tossed by the emotions that come into your lives and being tossed around by the circumstances in our life? Oh, we have a God who sends favor to those with a devoted faith. Next, we see that finding favor results from a spirit-filled faith. Now, if you remember, this whole chapter, I just gave you an overview of it. This whole chapter and this great experience that we see in verse 42 through 47, which launched the early church, this whole thing is being, it's not because Peter did something great. It's not because of Peter's awesome sermon. It's not because of something that they planned in the craft show and the yard sale and all the different things that they did. No, it is because the Holy Spirit showed up, because they were obedient, and the Holy Spirit came and he changed the world right here in the midst of Jerusalem. And so again, what do we see here? There's transformation. Not because of any pastor, not because of any plan, but again, because of a spirit-filled faith. Let's look at the transformation, and if you could join me, and we'll come back to this. This will be the only extra verse that we'll look at today, or at least what I have planned. But Galatians 5, and then keep your finger there. We will come back to here. But as you're turning to Galatians 5, we see in verse 43, we see that that people kept feeling a sense of awe, and it says there's many wonders and signs and taking place through the apostles. Why? Because the apostles were awesome? No, because the Holy Spirit was not only filling them and not only present, but the Holy Spirit was overflowing them, and there were great and mighty things happening through people, because God was doing a great work in them and through them. But if you join me in Galatians 5, verses 16 through 24, look at this transition here. And we're going to see the difference between the deeds of the flesh and the fruits of the Spirit. Paul writes to the Galatians here. He says, verse 16, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh." Have y'all ever fought with the desire of the flesh? Hey, it's a real deal. Christian, I don't care how long you've been a follower of Christ, and we see all through it, not just in this passage, but in other passages too, that there is a battle within the flesh. And it says, verse 17, it says, "For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are," listen to this list, "immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing," and that's not the end of it, and it says, "things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, for those who practice such things." Now it says practice, not those who stumble from time to time, those who get tempted or whatever. That's not good, and we need to confess, we need to flee those things. But those who practice these things, and it says such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Friend, we can't continue in the flesh and think that we're going to heaven, is what they're saying. We can't be like the world. We can't submit to these things. We can't do all those things that our culture permits and think that we're going to be okay when we get face-to-face with the living God. We serve a God of high expectation. But listen what he says here. He says in verse 22, But the fruit of the Spirit is, and this is the point, this is what they were experiencing. This, the Spirit was doing this, and this was bringing awe and the unity in the church. And it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And against such things, saying that this isn't all that's in there in the list, such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And it says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let none of us become boastful, challenging one another, or envying one another. But so we see here that they're living a Spirit-filled faith. What does that mean? That there's miracles that are going on, there's wonders that are going on here, and but there is this transformation that is happening here. And I tell you, what is one of the greatest wonders that we could ever imagine than that of a transformed life? Think about your life. And where you were at one time and where you are today. Think about somebody that you know. Maybe it's a friend, a parent, a loved one, somebody down on the street, or somebody that you ran into that in high school he or she was a knucklehead, but then now they're living a transformed life. What an awesome wonder that is. The purpose today isn't to get into miracles and different things that can happen and signs and things, but we know that we have a God who can still do those things if he wants to do those things. And usually I believe that those things are limited by the faith of his people. And so we see here that there is a Spirit-filled faith. And then next, finding favor with people, or finding favor results from an authentic faith. In verses 44 through 47, we see several things. We see that they were together. They were sharing to help needs. There was unity among them. They were sharing meals. They were doing all this, it says, with gladness and sincerity of heart. And then we see the result there at the end of this passage, that they were having favor with people, and God was adding to their numbers day by day. What's happening here? This is the real deal. That again, the Spirit-filled faith has changed their lives. And listen to me, living the morality of a Christian life is exhausting without Holy Spirit transformation. I mean, if the Holy Spirit's not present in us, you can only be good for so long. And you can only maintain this type of morality for just a short period of time. And again, I'm not saying that this happens without a struggle in the flesh. That does happen. We are all struggling because we have been, if you have come to a faith in Jesus Christ, you have been sanctified, you've been redeemed, but you have yet to be glorified. And what does that mean? That is when you're dead. And you get up and he says, well done, my good and faithful servant. And then your battle is over with the things of this world. And so, people can sniff out a fake in a hurry. What am I talking about, a fake? I'm talking about a hypocrite. You know, the word hypocrite means actor. It means that you're acting. Do you mind, Rhonda, if I share your Tom Thumb story? Rhonda has this thing going on, just connecting with the people at Tom Thumb. This one here. And she takes some meals, she takes some cards, she just loves on them and tells them about Jesus and why she's doing it. And she's also adopted now the Tom Thumb that's over by Sam's. And she was talking to them, and they had a conversation going on, and they had mentioned about, you can tell, the challenging people that come in at 12:30 on Sunday afternoon that are dressed real nice. And he said, that is a different kind of crowd. And we've heard those stories similar to restaurants, too, that, you know, when on the Sunday afternoon crowd can be one of the worst crowds, one of the cheapest tipping crowds, can be one of the I don't know how else to say it, the jerkiest crowds. If we have a Spirit-filled faith and a devoted faith, an authentic faith, it has done something different in us. And we're just saying, hey, just being real. No, friend, you're being a jerk. You're being a jerk, and Christ has nothing to do with that. And let me tell you that a jerk that's dressed like a Christian is a hindrance to unity. It's a hindrance to the favor of God and the favor that he has for us with people, and it's a hindrance to the mission of God. Oh, and why can people sniff out a fake so easily? Why? Because it's not us that's attractive in our Sunday duds. It's not us that is attractive because of whatever that we... It is God in us that is attractive. That's what brings this favor, is that devoted faith that no matter if I feel like a jerk, I'm not going to act like a jerk. I'm not looking at my wife. Because remember, I'm not glorified yet. But what I'm saying here is there's an authentic faith. And when we can hear from time to time where we'll see a follower of Christ, they'll say, hey, I'm just being real. No, you're not being real. You're being selfish. You're being in the flesh, and you're breaking up the unity of the body, and you're removing the favor of God. Steve Gaines, and you know, he's the president of the Southern Baptist Convention, and I didn't do my hands like that because he's worthy to be praised at all. I just don't know why my hands went up, but I wanted to make that clear. But I shared this with you a couple months ago. He said, stop. We need to stop trying to attract people. We need to stop trying to attract people. He says that we're supposed to attract God, and he will attract the people. Why? Because if we're doing it in our own strength and power, people are looking for God. They're not looking for something. And this kind of favor that we're talking about here today, it is that which is a product, that which happens because of our focus and our faith on God. Again, a devoted faith, one that is fighting and battling, regardless of how you feel, you are committed, you're all in, even if it brings death today, regardless of what it is, we're all in. Then it's a spirit-filled faith. We don't do it in our own strength. We do it in God's strength. And then it is an authentic faith. It is the real deal, and it is empowered by the Holy Spirit. And then when we begin to have that kind of faith, we see the results that we find at the end of this chapter where God was adding to their number day by day. It's his power. It's his church. It's his sanctification. It's his redemption. And if there's any goodness in us, it is because of the blood of Jesus Christ, his son. And then finally, finding favor results from a rejoiceful faith. You're like, rejoiceful? Is that a word? Well, Microsoft says it's not, but the dictionary says it is. And so I wrestled back and forth with several words here. Rejoiceful. And why I picked this word? Well, first let me, rejoiceful. Why is it even there? And we see that in verses 46 through 47, it talked about they were gathering with gladness. They were praising God. And why I picked rejoiceful? Because when you study the word rejoice, it is that which... It's not just an emotion. I mean, can't we really? I mean, it's a good day. I feel good. Woohoo! I'll do anything, right? And then there's some days where I'm just not feeling so good. So I won't do anything. But what rejoice is an emotion that gets us in a rejoicing and a glad and a praising God mood. But it is also an action. It's also a command that regardless of what we're going through, regardless of if it's a cloudy day or whatever we are going through, we serve a God who is worthy to be rejoiced, worthy to be praised, worthy to be loved, worthy to be sought, regardless of what we are going through. They had a rejoiceful faith. Oh, and then we see this church, was experiencing the favor of God, was experiencing the favor of men, and God was adding to their numbers day by day. So what's our big idea today? The big idea is that we experience favor with man out of the overflow of God in our heart. You want the favor of man. It's not in anything that you are, anything that you can do, or anything that you can plan. You want true favor, and I'm talking about the favor that is defined here as grace, as that which comes from God, as that which is freely given, that which is divine. To have that kind of favor through God is we experience this favor with man out of the overflow of God in our life. So that kind of favor, it may begin here, but that kind of favor begins with that devoted, that spirit-filled faith. And it continues with that authentic faith. It is not just something that we do on Sunday morning. It is what you do when you wake up first thing on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. It's who you are. It's not what we do, but it's who you are as a follower of Christ. From the last 2 weeks, we've looked at faith. We've looked at it, we've described it, we've done a word study. It is clear what the Holy Spirit and what God's word says about this faith. And the question I have for you is, how does these descriptions of faith, how do they compare to your walk today? Where are you? Are you the guy on Sunday afternoon that is setting just a poor example of what it means to be a follower of Christ and as you deal with people, and then on Monday and Tuesday, all throughout the week? Or are you that person that whenever you wake up in the morning, you're like, Lord, here I am. Good morning. And Lord, and you just pray and you put on your spiritual armor. You do however the Holy Spirit leads you, and you're in that devotion. Do you have a devoted faith, or are you just a fair weather follower of Jesus Christ? Friend, in Revelations, I think he makes it clear there are no fair weather followers of Jesus Christ. He says, hey, you're either hot or you're cold. And if you're in the middle, if you're a fair weather, he doesn't say that, he calls it lukewarm. He says what? I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. Friend, I don't know about you, but that doesn't sound a place where I want to be, being spewed out of Jesus' mouth. Where are you in your faith today? Remember, favor from man doesn't mean you're going to get everything you want to get. There may be even those tough times. And in those tough times, what do? We stand in love. We stand in love. When we read 1 John, I want to say it's chapter 4, it talks about God is love. And the closest person where somebody sees and experiences a tangible love of God is through his church, through his followers of Christ. And so it is a changing love. It is a transforming love, first in us and in other people. As Rhonda is coming, I ask you, how does this description of faith, not one that I created, one that I dug from the Word of God, and one that is empowered by the whole Holy Spirit, how does this description of faith fit the way you walk day in and day out? We've been talking about growing like Jesus. Friend, you will not increase in the way that Jesus increased. We will not grow like Jesus outside of this type of faith. I encourage you here in this moment, we're going to have a time of prayer. I'm going to ask you to pray for yourself. I'm going to ask you to pray for yourself. And I'm ask you to pray for our church too. Maybe you're a guest here today and you have a home church, and I would like to pray for that church that you are of, your home church. And so where are we? Are we receiving the favor, the grace, the divine favor of God by the way that we live our life, and the way that we seek him on a daily basis? Again, that which is devoted, that which is spirit-filled, that which is authentic, and that which is rejoiceful regardless of what the day serves us. You pray. If you would like me to pray, I'll be right over here, and I would definitely like to talk to you about any questions. We set up a time that we could talk. If you want to come forward and you want to pray, you can do that as well. You're welcome to pray right there where you are too. And then at the end of that, after Rhonda, our deacon of the week is going to pray for us. And if you would pray for us specifically, according to Luke, or Mark 12, that we would pray that we would become the people who love God with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind, and that we would also love one another as we love ourselves.